Pray with me out loud. Say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart, I open my ears, and I expect you to speak to me and minister to me right where I am. My ears are open. My heart is open. I thank you, Lord, for touching me right where I am in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we just thank you right now that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened by your word. We thank you, Lord, that you do change us from the inside out. And we thank you, Lord, for this message today. Thank you, Lord, for supernatural strength and utterance. Lord, we just thank you for just ministering to people right where they are, because nothing's ever over. The best is yet to come, because you're a good God. Our story continues in every way. And we just give you praise and we give you thanks for all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Amen. Give your neighbor a high five and you can be seated. Can you go in the refrigerator back there and get me one more of these? Thank you. Y'all don't mind if I drink, right? Amen. We had a good time last Wednesday. I wasn't here Wednesday. But we had a good time. Have Mama Mia pizza night. End of June, 1st of July, we're going to have ice cream night. Homemade ice cream. So we're excited about that. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. You're awesome. Love you. Amen. Praise God. Well, you know, we started last Sunday. We were sharing about how if the story isn't good, the story isn't over. How many of you know your story's not over, right? And then if you were here Wednesday, I mean, Jane shared about finding a lump and then going to get it checked, and she prayed and the lump was gone. Amen. And it was a big lump. Amen.
Yeah, it was confirmed by the doctor's office that there was a lump.
Hell yeah. They couldn't find it. How many know God's good? You know, I don't care what kind of report you get. Friday, you know, when I being at the doc's office there in Somerville, he kind of laughed about the whole thing going to Mexico, but then he straightened up when I told him what my A1C was. And he quit smiling. Because he knew I wasn't going to back off. And then told him about my eyes. You know what? No matter what you've been told, even if it looks bad, how many of you know God's still good?
Amen.
And he's given you the victory.
Amen.
The blood was more than enough.
Sorry.
You got everything you need in life to be happy.
Amen.
You don't need to go pop a cork to be happy. You don't need to go burn one to be happy. Everything. Everybody say he's everything.
Yeah.
And I don't care what's going on. It could be the worst thing ever. I mean, something terrible could have happened. My goodness, can I share about Wesley and Maria, you know, last Saturday? Last Saturday, they hydroplaned on the interstate coming back from Murfreesboro, bounced into a semi carrying a bunch of pigs, and flipped around on the road, totaled their truck, I'm assuming. And then when he called, he said, we're at the emergency room. Of course, as a dad, you know, your stomach kind of sinks a little bit. And I go, yeah. And he goes, but we're okay. We're fine. And, you know, God was good. Amen. I mean, sometimes, you know, we have things come our way, not any fault of your own. You know, he wasn't speeding, but bouncing off that semi was something else, too. Could have been really bad. If we could show you the pictures, it could have been really bad. And the guardrail kept him from going down a hill and rolling. The post and the guardrail stopped the truck from going any further. It was just amazing. And they walked away from it. So God's a good God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I remember one time we were on the road with Mr. Driscoll, and we all got the flu. But Phil's going to play in Ada, Oklahoma. So we had to load up. I didn't get to fly on that one. We were loading up equipment. We asked the hotel clerk if we could keep towels because we were not well. And we ended up throwing the towels. I'm just being honest with you. We ended up throwing the towels away while we're driving down the interstate, because the ministry is important. Church is important. And we pushed and we got it done. Got there and set up. I'll never forget that night. We all had a fever. We got everything up and running. We got the other church sound guys to come back and run the sound. One of us sat in the back, ran tracks for Phil. But we got it done. We got it done. You know, how many of you know you do what you got to do sometimes? Amen. You push through. You push through. You get it done. Amen. And you know, when Jesus told us in Mark 11:23-24, you know, the King of Kings, Jesus, the Lord of Lords, he told you personally how to deal with circumstances and mountains in your life. Those storms, the car spinning out of control, or the lump, or you know, the doctor laughing at you, and then all of a sudden you just, you know, let me show you the pictures of what happened to my eyes. You know, God's still good. Your story, even if it's something bad, it's not over. Amen. Jesus has the last word. Amen. So let's talk some more about this today. Amen. Look with me here at Mark 11:23-24. This is where we were at last Sunday. But it says here, For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will what? Have them. Amen. We all deal with storms in life. We all deal with trouble. We all deal with circumstances. Everybody does. Everybody does. And you know what? Nothing's perfect all the time. Oh, well, that's good. I mean, you know, every once in a while you have somebody mess with your Cheerio bowl. Right? You got that boss that's all prideful and it just gives you a hard time. I said, it gives you a hard time. You got to shake it off because Jesus is still good. God's still on the throne. Amen. I mean, all hell could be breaking out. But you know what? God's still good. Amen. We all deal with stuff that happens in our lives. Everybody does. We live in a world filled with folks who seem to be losing their minds over storms and circumstances. But you know what? We don't follow after the world. We follow God. Amen. When everybody else is, like we said last Sunday, when everybody else is losing their mind, you should be renewing your mind. Amen. When everybody else is losing their mind, you should be renewing your mind. When you are renewing your mind, you'll find yourself becoming more stable and secure because you're following after Him. You're letting the eyes of your understanding be enlightened by His Word. We have the victory. Shout that out. Say, we have the victory. We have the victory. Amen. You know, there may be times, I told you last week, you want to desert the plan. And you've already got in your head, I got plan B. I got plan C. I got plan P. And, you know, we got another plan. But you know what? We all have opportunities and temptations to quit, and sometimes on a daily basis. But I want you to know, you need to keep your heart open and let God move on your life because He's your strength. He's your ability. How you respond in the face of adversity and circumstances always tells the story about your relationship with the Father. Because trouble's going to come. Amen. Trouble's going to come. Problems come up. You might get up in the morning. I remember one morning I got up and the tires were flat, both tires. Had to get it fixed. Trouble comes sometimes. You going to lose your noodle over it? No. Going to go get it done. Amen. Storms and circumstances come. But you need to remember something. You're not dealing with people who don't, sometimes you're dealing with people who don't think like you do. So you can't get upset with them. And I'm going to tell you this, people are not your obstacle. Write it down. People are not your obstacle. People, here we go, people are the purpose. So you keeping your focus and you renewing your mind to what the Word of God says helps you to be a stable force in the earth. We're supposed to occupy until He comes. Well, to do that, stability should be your number one priority. How do we stay stable? We're going to renew our mind to the Word. It'll keep me focused. It keeps me moving forward. Amen. You got to practice being patient. We told you that last week. And then I want you to see this scripture. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, "Perfect absolute peace surrounds those whose imaginations are consumed with you. They confidently trust in you." Again, as a Christian, you don't panic. If the story isn't good, what?
The story isn't over.
The story isn't over. I didn't realize there was a song about that. And Melissa played the song for me the other day. I said, well, that's pretty good. Amen. But you know what? If the story isn't good, the story isn't over. When everybody else is losing their head, you got to stick with what God's told you to do. Renew your mind. And then I wanted to read you this one again. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and, whoops. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. And this is from the Message Bible. But it reads like this, and I love this verse. Oh, don't let it faze you. Stick with what you've learned and believed. Don't let life faze you. You ever had something faze you? Huh? I told you about our brother David. He got Dad's dykes, his wire cutters, and he cut the extension cord that was going to the soldering iron. And bam! And David's thrown up against the wall. Little kid. And I was laughing. And Dad looked at me and said, "It's not funny." But he was okay. He was all right. You know, sometimes things kind of shock you a little bit, faze you. Right? Don't play with wires. Hire a trained professional. Amen. But you know, but you should let things faze you. Listen, we all experience trouble. Trouble's going to happen. But what's the right mental attitude when it comes to facing trouble or trials or circumstances? How do we deal with it? Well, when trouble comes, you're going to pick up the Word and speak the Word. You're going to say it and speak it and say it and speak it. Listen, you're not the one responsible for bringing His Word to pass. He is. And you start out by praising Him for your deliverance. You start out to offer that sacrifice of joy even when you don't feel like it. You praise God for your deliverance. You praise God for the power of His Word. You praise God for the name of Jesus. You praise God that you're a winner and not a loser. And He hears you and He answers your prayer. Amen. All the time He hears you and answers your prayer. Now listen to me this morning. Amen. Jesus told us, before I even read that verse to you, I'm not telling you this morning you don't act like you have any problems. That's why I'm emphasizing trouble's going to come. And we all are aware of that. And I'm not emphasizing that you won't ever have any problems, because problems are real. Reach over and pinch your neighbor real hard so they know that you're the problem that's real. Amen. No, don't do that. We're going to have a fight in church. Amen. You have to cast the devil out of you. Problems are real, but the Word of God is the highest form of reality. Amen. Let me say that again. Problems are real, but the Word of God is the highest form of reality. You know, some people can't get past their head on that, because they think, well, I don't feel that. I don't go by what I feel. I go by what I believe. That's faith. I believe the Word. I believe what He said is true. My Bible says, and your Bible says, that our Father watches over His Word to perform it. See, you're the believer. He's the performer. Amen. Amen. You're the believer. He's the performer. Hallelujah. See, the highest form of reality is the Word of God. Laughing at the devil and offering praises and sacrifices of joy are some of the things you can do about your problem. You know, some people just mentally shut themselves away from problems. They want to check out. They want to just pretend that it doesn't exist. But that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about at all. Somewhere down the road, you're going to have to come back to the reality of the problem, because it'll still be there. But what do? Well, Jesus told us here in John 17, 17, thy word, or your word, is what? Say that. Say, your word is truth. See, God's word is reality. And when you acquire a right mental attitude about every situation based upon what the word says, then you are actually putting yourself in position where God is able to provide an avenue of escape. Let me say that again. That'll help you if you write that one down. God's word is truth. It's reality. And when you acquire the right mental attitude about every situation based upon the word of God, then you're actually putting yourself in position where God is able to provide to you or show you a way out or a way of escape. You're not pretending that the problem isn't real or it doesn't exist. That's not what you're doing. You're actually applying spiritual power that causes it to be or causes it to depart far from you. Amen. God, if you will put His word first, if you renew your mind to the word, when trouble comes, He'll show you what to do. I remember our chaplain at New Life Bible College, Norval Hayes' Bible School, Barry used to say, he said, boys, you know what? If you memorize the scripture when you don't need it, the Holy Ghost will bring it to your remembrance when you do. Amen. Most people won't do that. They want to bellyache and whine and carry on and talk about their troubles all the time. How bad it is, you know. I always tell that joke, you know, the doctors cut me from the center of my back all the way up to my belly button. I look like a mud flap on a Mack truck. And they want to bellyache and complain and whine and carry on. Oh, I've had a headache for 14 days. What's the word say? You need to enlighten the eyes of your understanding to what the word says. The word says He's your healer. Amen. His word is truth. You got to understand God wants your troubles to be far from you. But you got to renew your mind to the word. Well, how far is far? Let me ask that today. How far is far? Excuse me. Ooh. How far is far? Well, let me put this to you. Most heavy-duty spiritual thing you'll ever hear. Jesus is far above all principalities and powers. Right? We read that in Ephesians, I believe. He is far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that has been named. So, how far do you suppose that is? If Jesus is far above all of that, and He now lives in you, how far away are you from all your troubles and problems and principalities and powers that try to work harm in your life? If Jesus is far above demonic activity, that is how far oppression, fear, and terror should be from you. Amen. When you have the right mental attitude and you begin to offer that sacrifice of joy, your problems are going to begin to be far from you. You ought to receive that today. Because we all have trouble. I mean, this week, driving to the week before, Wednesday, driving to Knoxville, going to see my friend. Praise God, he only had to have a little bit cut off. They were talking about taking his leg off. But they didn't do that. We prayed and God changed things. Amen. And did a work in his body. Praise God. But, you know, I got to spend time ministering to my best friend from high school. He'd been through a lot in his life. And we just talked about the word and talked about how good God is. Gave him the wristband we give to people. You know, something good always happens to me. I said, you need to put this on. I went and put mine off, put it on his arm. I said, every time you look at that, you need to speak that. And the scripture we say at the offering, you know what? We shook our heads. All of us were the eternal. You got it memorized by now, don't you? I did that on purpose. The eternal has done what? I was beyond and amen. You need to be happy and joyful. You got to speak the word over your life. God's a good God. Jesus is far above demonic activity. And far above oppression, fear, and terror. And that's where you are. Amen. The scripture says He's given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. When you have the right attitude and you offer that sacrifice of joy, even when you don't feel like it, and your ears are stopped up, and your nose is running, and in the middle of the night you're coughing and waking your wife up 15 times. Excuse me. Oh, you know when you cough a whole lot, I mean muscles pull. Whew. But you know what? You can't get all bent out of shape. You got to realize your problems are really far away from you when you begin to speak the word. You know, I was thinking about this. This is one of the screens we use for the songs and the worship. One of the worship slides as a background. What do you see there in that picture? Come on, say it out loud. Hands praising God, people worshiping the Lord, magnifying Him. Amen. Well, let me just throw this at you. The Bible says this is the day that the Lord has made. We all got it. Aren't you glad He didn't say, well, this is the day I created for you to live in darkness and be depressed and sad. This is the day I created so I could slap you around like a government mule. Is that what the word says? But boy, to hear some people talk, you wonder. You better be speaking the word. You want to see change. You want to see change, you better speak the word. See, the Bible says that you and I should rejoice and be glad. No matter what's going on, we're still blessed. And we still have a whole lot to be thankful for. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Let me throw this at you. I ought to write this one down. Notable. Right? Notable. Is that what it is, John? All right. I got to get me that program. Andrew, we need to get that program. Notable. Here's something notable. You ready? Stop normalizing fear. Stop normalizing fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. Don't normalize fear. Amen. See, no matter what's going on, we're still blessed. I'll ask you this, and I'm not going to ask you to answer out loud, but have you been normalizing fear in your life? What old stories do you continue to tell? And you tell yourself, you look in the bathroom mirror and you're talking about how bad you are. And I'm not talking about talking smack. You know, I'm bad to the bone. Glory to God. I'm not talking about that. But you sit in the mirror, I'm just not good enough. I just can't do it. I need more money. I got to pay my house payment. Lord, I don't have enough. Well, that's opposite to the scriptures. See, you're normalizing fear. Oh, I'm sick. My ears are stopped up. I kept my wife up 15 times last night.
I'm exaggerating.
You know, you can't normalize stuff that's bad. You know what should be normal in your life is speaking the word. I mean, ask yourself, what old stories do you constantly tell over and over and over? How about this one? What new ones can you speak and step forward with instead? What new things have you learned from the Word that you can begin to speak instead? I mean, if you were at our house when we were in high school and junior high, our mother had pieces of paper with scriptures on it and confessions. I couldn't even fix my hair in the morning to go to high school because the bathroom mirror was loaded with scriptures. To this day, I still remember those things. And it's there. Our stepfather played Efren Zimbalist Jr. in the house all night long. James Earl Jones, all night long. What, y'all watching movies? No, they were reading the Bible. It was down soft, but there's things that I'd come to my thoughts and I wasn't thinking about it because when you hear stuff over and over and over, it's going to come out of you. Amen. That's why it's important what you watch and listen to, what you do. Amen. How about this? Everything has ears. Amen. Everything has ears. You need to change your words so you can change your world. So my question for you today, I'm heading towards the end here. What I'm saying and what I'm declaring today for you and what you need to say and declare today, see, this world needs to listen to your voice. Your voice and that tongue in that mouth is what changes history. Amen. Your voice, that tongue in your mouth, speaks faith. It changes the story. Even if your story's bad, what is it now? The story isn't over. But your words, what you're declaring today, I'm telling you, the world needs to hear your voice. And then, you know, this is the same verse we started with, Mark 11, 23 and 24, but this is from the Passion Bible. It's not a translation, it's a paraphrase. Listen to the truth I speak to you. Just Jesus talking. If someone says to this mountain with great faith and having no doubt, mountain be lifted up and thrown into the midst of the sea, and believes that what he says will happen, it will be what? This is the reason I urge you to boldly believe for whatever you ask for in prayer. Believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Amen. Again, everything has ears. You have ears. Your mouth needs to hear yourself speaking the word. Amen. You'll hear me say it sometimes. Lift your hands. Close your eyes. Lift your voice. Let your own ears hear yourself praising God. You should be that loud. It should affect you. I tell you, sometimes I wonder if God's getting anything out of your praise. It should affect you. When you come to church, you come with something. Not looking for something. You come ready to just really go, to rejoice, to magnify Him. This is that Sunday's a pick-me-up day. Middle of the week, that midweek pick-me-up day. Amen, a refuel. Listen, what's the Hebrews 11:1 say? It says, now faith brings our hopes into reality. We know it in the King James, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? In this translation, I believe this is the voice, it says, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. Ooh, that's good. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. Amen. I love that doctor. He laughed at me, and then I told him about my eyes. He quit laughing. And I looked at him and said, I'm a believer. It works. Shut him up. He's a nice guy. He really is. But he got quiet on that. How many know you get around some people, they don't think like you do? And you need to be a good person and minister to them. I was bold, but I laughed when I spoke and smiled. I wanted it to be palatable to him. I didn't want him to be offended at me. I want him to know there's something more and there's something better. I even mentioned the scripture that I've told you about. Listen, faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. See, your expectation and our expectation, my expectation, is vital in our daily lives. Everybody say, my expectation is vital. It is. Your expectation is vital. Amen. Our great God has given us the tools and power to succeed in life. Our hope is in Him, and that's very important. The other day, when I was working on emails, I came across something in a daily devotional. I get all sorts of stuff in the morning email, and I read headlines in the morning, and that's all the news I'll watch or listen to that day. I'll read my headlines that come in, and that's it. I turn it off. I'm going to get back to the Word. Devotionals come in. Rick Renner comes in. Brother Copeland comes in, some others. And I'll sit there and read. But this came in the other day, and it's what inspired me to do this message for you. But when you know, you know. So, when you know, is that there? Nope. When you know that God is for you, number one, that's not the points on your handout. I'm getting to that. When you know that, number one, God is for you, and that the Spirit lives within you, and when you know, that His favor is upon you, you're no longer consumed with insecurity about the odds that might be stacked against you. I got this because Jesus has got me. You hear? When you know, you know. If you know the Word, well, you know. You know that God's for you, that His Spirit lives within you, that His favor is upon you. You're no longer consumed with insecurity about the odds that might be stacked against you. You know. And if you know, what? You know. Y'all heard a story about that parrot at the pet store? This couple went in there, and the parrot began to just look at the man and say, "Your wife is a low-down blah, 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 blah." And that guy was getting mad. He kept falling. The bird kept flying around with him in the pet store. "You know your wife is ugly." That bird learned that from somebody. So the guy was getting upset. He's going to kill that bird. I mean, he's going to kill it. Well, he goes back in the back, calls the manager up. He says, "You need to do something about that parrot. He is rude. He's calling my wife names. I don't like it. I came in here to buy a pet for my wife, but I don't want to buy anything if you got an animal like that talking to people like that." And the guy goes, "I'm so sorry, sir. I will deal with it." So he goes and grabs the bird and shakes it real hard. Feathers are flying. And the bird flies back to his perch at the front of the store. And they bought a cat. And they got their food. They got litter. They got their little cage. And they're heading towards the door. And the parrot looked at the man and said, "Hey!" And the man was ready to punch that bird. That bird goes, "You know." If you know the Word, you know. Amen? So be encouraged today. Be expecting things. God's going to move on your behalf all the time. So in your handout says, four kinds of expectations. Are you ready? I'm going to close with this. The first one is this, negative expectation. Y'all been around negative people? I set boundaries for negative people. I do. I'm just telling you. There's one thing in ministry, counsel somebody, you bless them, you want to give them the Word to help them. That's another thing. But if you're out in life and going into a store or something, you just get around a negative person, how many of you know it just is unsettling sometimes? Right? I mean, you can only have so much and you feel like you're depressed. You know, pray for me. I got to go drinking now after hearing that. You ever talk with somebody, you know they're not saved and you're wanting to be a blessing to them, but they're so negative you feel like you need counseling after you talk to them, right? Negative expectations. Some people have this idea that something bad's going to happen no matter what. They even talk that way. The old Doris Day song, "Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be." Well, that kind of attitude ain't going to get you far in life. It's not going to work. What should you be speaking? You should be speaking the Word. All right? Or what's a negative expectation? Something bad's going to happen. Number two, this is a good one. Neutral expectation. Neutral expectation is, well, nothing is happening. Everything's terrible. I hate my life. Nothing good ever happens. Well, be it unto you as you have believed. You speak it, you're going to live in it. Amen. By the words of your mouth, you'll be justified. Amen. And don't come across as some denominational humbleness. Well, I'm just a humble, lowly sinner. Listen, the Bible don't even talk that way. Come on. You got to talk faith. You need to talk victory. He made you more than a what? More than a conqueror through Him. But some people just have a neutral expectation. You know, nothing's happening. Nothing good ever happens. How about this? The third one. Misguided expectation. Misguided. Now this one sometimes can be positive, but sometimes you get yourself into more trouble than it's worth. Misguided expectation, you know, you get this attitude, well, I'm going to make something happen or else. Your flesh gets involved. You start operating in the arm of the flesh. And, you know, you got an expectation about things, but you're doing it in the wrong way. You with me? But the best kind of expectation. And again, if you want one of these bracelets, they're over there in the basket on the table. But the best kind of expectation is what's on the bracelet. Number four, positive expectation. Something good is always happening. Why? Because God is good. Amen. Our scripture, a different translation of it, Psalm 126:3, it reads here, it says, yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What a joy. Psalm 126:3. Every day I'll put this on. I look at it and I think to myself, and I speak it out loud. Something good always happens to me. Amen. That is a positive expectation. Why is something good happening? Because God is good. Amen. There was an old rock and roll song. It's all right. Something's happening. And there's an expectation when you hear the chorus. It's all right. Something's happening. And it kind of gets you going a little bit, you know, and you're like, yeah. And you're going to push the accelerators a little bit more. Yeah, something good's happening. Yeah. Come on, you know y'all do that too. Listen, we should have a positive attitude about our lives. We should expect God every day. You should expect God today. See, your faith can move the mountain in the circumstances of life. Faith is not only the great equalizer, but also the excuse eliminator. Let me say that again. Your life of faith is not only the great equalizer, but it's also the excuse eliminator. See, faith in God's Word will take you past disadvantages that may have happened in your life. Faith in God's Word can take you past the disadvantages, and it can take you beyond the limitations of your world. But what do you need to do? You need to be expecting God every day of your life. I expect heaven. Some of you believing for a raise this year, a promotion, a bonus. What are you speaking out of your mouth? Are you working hard? You putting forth the effort? You got a bad attitude. Amen. Oh, me. What's your expectation? See, we need to be expecting God. Maybe you're wanting to get a different car, believing for a newer car or a brand new car even. Well, what's your expectation? You've been walking around and looking, putting your faith out there for what you want to do. Maybe you need to get your finances in order so you can do something. Well, you set goals and you make that happen. What's your expectation? What are you looking for? See, you've got to be expecting Him every day. Expect God every day. Amen. In fact, let's all stand on our feet. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you would, say, I think you could say this as a confession. I was just going to read it and preach it here. But say it with me. When I say expect him, say it. When I say expect him, I am saying expect good things. I expect health and I expect healing. I expect blessings. I expect victory every day. Even if my story isn't good, my story isn't over. Why? Because I expect God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can we say it like that again? When I say expect him, I am saying I expect good things. I expect health and I expect healing. I expect blessings. I expect victory every day. Even if my story isn't good, my story isn't over because I expect God. Do you believe that today? Amen. Well, lift your hands towards heaven there. Let's just thank him. Hallelujah. I don't know who you are. Somebody in here, you're really believing for something important. Whatever that is, you need to put your expectation on him and not whine about the issue. Amen. That's from the Holy Ghost right there. Quit whining about the problem. Quit talking about it. Quit nursing it. Quit nursing the problem. Amen. Begin to speak to that. Have a positive expectation about what you know God's going to do for you. Amen. He put all things under your feet. He gave you power. He gave you authority. Act like it. Pull your britches up and be somebody in the kingdom. Amen. Somebody in here, you got a situation at your job. You'd like to change, but then again, you'd like to not change at all. Well, you know what? Stop yourself and ask yourself, what am I speaking about all this? God can change it. God can turn it around. God can give you the wisdom and discernment to make a proper decision and a proper choice. He can turn the situation around to your advantage. Scriptures talk about that. What Bible verses are you speaking over this situation? I don't know who that is, but I believe the Lord's speaking to you. What's your expectation? Somebody else has got something going on with a house, or maybe it's just a new living space. But the Lord says you better talk what you want. Begin to speak that you have favor to get what he's revealed to you. Amen. Speak it. You want that mountain to move? It needs to move your mouth first. Remember, you're the believer. God's the performer. You got to speak the word if you want to see change. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Amen. Glory to God. Well, Father, we just thank you right now. Lord, I pray for our church right now. I thank you, Lord, that people's expectations, Lord, you want to fulfill them. And as we speak your word, we give you the ability to fulfill them. Amen. We refuse to be negative. We refuse to talk doubt and unbelief. We speak what your word says. Your word says we have the victory. Your word says that we have success in our lives. Your word says, Lord, that you lead us and guide us. You show us things to come. You reveal things to us. Lord, your word says that surely goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life. Your word says that your angels are set round about us to protect us from all harm and danger. Your word says that you go before me and prepare my way. Amen. Lord, your word says in Psalms that the path that I walk on drips with blessings. Lord, we speak your word. We speak your word. Your word is life and health to us. We choose to speak your word. Something good is always happening to us, Lord, because we speak your word. Amen. Hallelujah. By faith I believe, by faith I receive. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Whatever it is, church, you're believing for, praying for, right now just begin to thank God that it's done. Amen. Come on, lift your hands. Thank him that it's done. Lord, we just thank you that these things are taken care of and done and finished. In Jesus' name right now, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.